It's Mail It In Friday.
I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Well, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail?
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around and putting it into boxes.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, rolling into a long weekend, Thanksgiving weekend. Rays coming up in a moment. Marcellus Wiley, our NFL analyst at 5:40. Thursday night or last night was an entertaining game. It was a sloppy game, but it was a close game. The Pats pick up a big win. We're two nights into the NHL season, and it's been pretty wild. We'll get to that in a moment. Baseball playoffs continue. Jose Altuve is the talk of baseball. Three home runs yesterday. Last time I checked, he was 2 for 2 this afternoon. I think the Sox are going to get swept again. They got swept by the Tribe last year in the ALDS.
If you ever want to see something fascinating, who is the best small hockey player? Is it Gaudreau?
Best small hockey player in today's game?
Yeah.
Tyler Johnson.
It's Gaudreau.
Use him as an example, sure.
But it's baseball's version is Altuve, and it's so, like, you watch this kid come up to bat, he's a grown man, but you watch him come up to bat, and you're like, no way he's putting wood on that. And it's amazing to watch.
Him and Pedroia over the past 10 years are those two guys. Like, Pedroia looks like his bat weighs more than him. And when he connects, he has to put everything into it. There's nothing smooth about it.
Right.
Altuve, the same thing. The strike zone.
But Altuve's smaller.
He's smaller than Pedroia, if that's believable. He's like Jovinko. Like, that's what he looks like. He's tiny. And he launches ball. Like, he's not a home run hitter necessarily, but he had three last night.
Well, he's probably going to win the AL MVP, isn't he?
Tim or Judge. Wow. And that's the amazing thing. Judge is 6'8 or whatever.
He's a monster.
He's a monster, and Altuve's like 5'6.
Altuve, what do you think his nickname is in the room?
It's probably an ironic name, like Mighty Mouse or something.
Yeah, I was
like
going to say Mighty Mouse. But it could be like Hulkster or something.
Yeah, too tall.
Tuve? That doesn't work, though. I guess Tuve's just to play on his last name.
Yeah.
But I do wonder if they've got an ironic nickname.
For sure, for sure. Yeah.
Beast or Big Man.
I need to correct my barefoot kicker story. Apparently, there was nobody that was a barefoot kicker in the CFL. It was a guy named Tony Franklin in the NFL, barefoot kicker.
Ran out there and kicked with no sock, no shoe, nothing.
And then we had the club foot kicker,
Dempsey,
who's a rock star.
Who hit a 63-yard dagger against the Lions back in 63, I believe it was.
Yeah. Either way.
We were talking about Nick Folk, for those that are just joining the conversation.
Yes.
He missed three kicks last night. It feels as if he will be unemployed very soon. We'll get back into that with Marcellus Wiley later this afternoon. The Leafs keeping us on our toes today. They made a trade just prior to us getting on the air. They have acquired Calvin Pickard. So Pickard was with Colorado. He was picked up by Vegas in the expansion draft. He's a goalie. He was just placed on waivers yesterday. He cleared waivers. And then the Leafs made the deal, sending Tobias Lindbergh and a sixth-round pick in 2018 going the other way. Lindbergh was a piece they got in the Phaneuf trade. By all accounts, a decent prospect, but was not going to be a part of the Leafs' plans because they're so loaded up front. And as Noodles pointed out in the previous hour, because Pickard went through waivers, he can go right to the Marlies.
Yeah.
So immediately he becomes a depth guy. He's your third option.
Right.
You like him better than Sparks in terms of NHL play this year.
Yeah, I believe he's an upgrade on Garrett Sparks. And
but you put McElhinney ahead of him.
McElhinney's a two. He's a traditional two at the NHL level. And that's what you've got. Now you've got your starter, a two, and then a three who can give you NHL minutes. And when I look at depth now, what the Toronto Maple Leafs did today was improve their depth at that position, because one little tweak of the knee or the ankle or something with Freddie Anderson gets run over, and you were dealing with McElhinney and Sparks and not a lot of depth. So I like the move. Didn't cost them very much, unless Lindbergh ends up being an all-star. But I think it was a terrific move by the Toronto Maple Leafs.
All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our main man, Rafe Ferraro. The Leafs picking up Pickard, and he just skated through waivers, and I'm sure Lou knew that, and this deal was in the works well before this all happened. What do you make of this kind of trend we're seeing in the NHL, where it seems like a lot of teams, especially the quality teams, realize they need three or four goalies to potentially compensate for injuries?
Well, I would guess, as Noodles just outlined there, the threat of what one injury does. I mean, it seriously can derail your entire season. Last year, Ottawa didn't have any depth in goal. They pick up Mike Condon. If they don't get Condon, they're not a playoff team. Like, it doesn't even matter that Erik Karlsson had a fabulous year, or or that they were able to play teams really tight. It wouldn't have mattered if Condon didn't come in. You need some depth at that position and some reliable depth. And really, Ottawa was at the end of the road there. I don't know how much confidence they had that Mike Condon was going to be a season saver for them, but that's what he turned out to be. What I see with Pickard, though, that is kind of makes me giggle for a half a second, is, have you seen his height? I mean, you know what Babb said about the last short goalie.
Yeah, they say he's listed at 6'1". I don't think he's 6'1".
Well, I was listed at 5'10".
Yeah.
You he's guys know that. Plus? I'm probably not 5'10".
You're close.
Thanks, Noodles. I appreciate that.
What are you in real life? Are you 5'8"?
I'm almost 5'9".
Yeah.
I said that I was almost 5'10", but,
Hit him with the Ted Cruz.
Lies. Oh, he lies.
So he played for Team Canada last year at the Worlds. He had a couple of really good games. He had probably a tough season to really evaluate last year. I mean, he just got pummeled in Colorado. I don't even know how you would evaluate how a goaltender does when they just get snowed under like that time and again. But I'm with you. I thought they might think about Subban. The way this went down, though, teams are protective of that number of to stay away from adding contracts, and so they probably had to move a contract out to bring a contract in to feel comfortable.
So it sounds like Dominic Moore will go in for Eric Fair tomorrow night, and Callie Rosen will go in for Borgman.
I find it weird. I know you got to keep guys on their toes, but the old theory of winning lineup, go back out there and give it a shot. I don't know.
I was a little surprised, unless the initial plan was that they had to get through waivers somehow, that they wanted to expose Marincin so they could have he was either going to be lost or the versatility to send him down, and that they want Rosen in the lineup as well. What are you going to do with the two young guys if you don't play them all the time, which they won't? Will they just rotate around? I mean, you don't want anybody sitting around for 5 or 7 games. And it's probably easier to do with Fair and Moore up front, because they're older guys and they're playing a very specific role.
Well, even with that said, though, I think I know, and I'm sure Babcock knows, you guys would know what Eric Fair is in a National Hockey League regular season game, what Dominic Moore is. They both have played 700-800 games. I have no idea what Callie Rosen is in a regular season game, and neither does Babcock, because he's never done it. That's the one thing I could understand if that was the reasoning. Like, let's give Borgman a regular season game, Rosen a regular season game, and then we'll review the tape and see who is more comfortable. I mean, would that make sense?
Well, except one game's not much of a
look-see,
is it?
No, it's not. But if you're
if they'll keep them here for a couple of weeks, and whether it's a rotation or they get two games and then the other guy gets two games, and then 5 games into the year they make some kind of evaluation. But I think we should probably look at it that neither of them require waivers. They can go up and down 100 times this year. And so if one guy's playing in the American League and one guy's playing in the NHL, and the guy in the NHL's play slips a little bit, well, then you just flip them out. And it doesn't become a punishment. It becomes keeping them playing as much as possible. I think that's that's critical for them. I mean, sitting around in a suit and watching a game does you no good.
Well, and once again, the elephant in the room is Josh Levo, because Moore's going to get in, Rosen's not going to get in, and I'm sure Levo's sitting there saying, how am I going to play? Like, without an injury,
right.
When is he going to play?
He's creeping into Frankie Corrado type stuff where it's like...
He's in a matrix.
He's in a matrix, and I would try to put an end to it sooner rather than later, because you saw what happened with Frankie Corrado. I think he went three quarters of the season before he got into a game.
Well, it was...
It was redonk.
It was, and I believe...
And it's not fair to the kid. Let him go play somewhere.
Yeah, and Ray, I don't know if... I think doing a Leaf game recently, I counted... I think Levo was a healthy scratch 35 times last year. If
that's just brutal.
And he played,
isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Aside from all the other stuff that goes on around the decision, and I guess it's maybe nobody's place in the organization to care, perhaps, but that's the guy's career. Like,
right.
You don't get to freeze as a 22-year-old. Now you're 23 and 24 and 25, and, you know, people look at you differently. I really do feel for him. I mean, just to find an opportunity to play, because it seems unlikely. It's not unlikely. I mean, somebody's going to get banged up, I would think, and he'll get a chance. But he's going to have to just wait again. I mean, it sucks for him.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it's not going to be tomorrow night, and the Leafs are coming off a spectacular outing on Wednesday night. I mean, a thoroughly entertaining outing anyway. And the Rangers lost last night
at home to Colorado.
I mean, I think the Leafs would be favored tomorrow night. They should be. I think the Rangers are one of those teams in the East that have just always been a playoff team, but feels like they're different this year and they've got to fight for more
this year.
Do you get the same sense?
Yeah, I do. For me, for sure. You know, Lundqvist didn't have a great year last year. He was good in the playoffs against Montreal. But, you know, year older, I don't know what kind of play you'll get from Andre Pavlik. His last couple of years haven't been so great on the number. They've got a lot of turnover over the last two or three years. I'm with you. I feel like they've entered into kind of that, you know, retool, rebuild, whatever you want to call it. Like, they're trying to get younger quite a bit faster. I mean, they got an 18-year-old Philip Chytil that made their roster out of camp, and I don't know when the last time Alain Vigneault had an 18-year-old, but I'm almost certain it's like never. You know, so they're flipping the leaf over there a little bit.
Ray, there's been a lot of offense, a lot of hat tricks, a lot of great plays, great moves. Can you put your finger on? I think it has a lot to do with the slashing to the hands that's allowing these guys. And Hal Gill brought it up the other day. It's like you really can't stop McDavid now. What do you think is the reason? Is it just the beginning of the season, a fluke?
I think there's three things. The rules, for sure. You know, like, for example, on McDavid's, you know, race down the ice the other night, when right before he made that little left cut and shot it up over Mike Smith's shoulder, that would have been a place where...
You get the chop.
You would have got the chop.
How about 10 years ago? Sorry to interrupt. If that,
you would have got the broken arm.
You would have got the Chris Pronger. Welcome to the league.
Right over the, not over one arm. those guys went right over both arms.
Yeah.
And so that's number one. Number two is the skill of the players, I think, is continually increased to the point where there's not one guy per team that can make a skilled play. There's a half a dozen that you go, holy smokes, that guy's good too. That guy's got great hands. This guy can really shoot it. And then the third part is early in the season. I think last year, into the end of October, goals were up almost a goal a game. And then, you know, they started to backwards track. I hope the goals stay up. I find it a way more entertaining game when there are goals to watch. But we'll see what the next couple of weeks bring for whether teams get better system-wise or whether they lay off the slashing penalties. Because if either of those things happen, then maybe the numbers of goals start to creep down.
You like the goals. I like the goals. We love scoring goals. How much is Pitt worried about the goals?
Well, when your goalie comes out and trips coming out of the starting block,
it's the worst. Like, I felt so bad. And, of course, Jay and Dan had that on multiple replay last night on their show.
Oh, your first start, you're here we go, and oh, I'm on my face. And then I'm out of there in 10 minutes. Pitt should never panic, but they should be slightly concerned that, you know, they don't have Marc-Andre Fleury this year. Noodles, you've talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
About the no safety net of the veteran that you can rely on. Because Antti Niemi's last couple of years have been
not good.
Terrible.
Why do you sign him? That's what I don't get. Like, I'm sorry. Why do you sign him?
They've had a few curious moves. Now, people don't know a lot of this behind the scenes, but Mike Bales is a really good goalie coach.
Yeah, I just wonder, though, Jimmy. I wish somebody, when I was garbage, they said, you know what? We got to sign this guy. He's terrible.
Well, maybe, I mean, they got him for $800,000, and I don't think there was a huge market for backups this summer. There was a lot of musical chairs, but there wasn't a standalone guy who was really coveted as a backup.
And I would have, of all the guys that were out there, he, you know, with all due respect, would have been one of my last resort signings.
Yeah.
He struggled so badly in Dallas. But I would have been really nervous about signing him. And so, you know, they lose the first one, and then, you know, they just get smoked last night. And I guess, you know, you look at their team and they are missing four or five guys from last year, key players for them, Fleury, Cullen, they flipped out Hainsey and Hunwick. Their third line center, I'm not sure if it's Carter Rowney or Greg McCaig. You know, like that's quite a step back. They miss Bonino in that spot. It's a different team. But as that game last night, I flicked over. I'm like 5-0. Like what did I miss here? I checked to see if it was in the second period or the third period for that matter. And that's a pretty crappy start for them.
Well, that's the price of success, right? You win back-to-back cups, you're going to have to pay people, and right. The guys who are available via free agency are going to get paid elsewhere, probably more, because people want winners in their organization.
Yeah, the hometown discount and the winning and everything, it only goes so far before somebody says, you know what, I got to go get paid.
Well, I got my two cups. Like, if I'm Nick Bonino, I'm like, I'll take the 4+ and Nash. Thanks. Send that ring down, and the invitation to the White House will chat down the road.
Now, are you looking forward to Monday at all?
Chicago and Toronto?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's interesting, right? Like, there's a 10-1 game last night, and we're focused on the team with one. How about the team with 10, your point?
Patty Kane was dancing last night.
Oh, my gosh. He said at one point, that it didn't even seem like a real game. Like, they were, you know, Ryan Hartman had 5 points on the other side of Kane. Schmaltz had a couple of goals and an assist.
Did Schmaltz get hurt? He went off the ice. He didn't look very good.
I'm not too concerned, only because
Kevin was laughing.
Kevin Dineen was howling when he went off. And so I don't know if something else happened there, but he didn't seem too concerned.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then Saad got 3 goals, and I'm like that'll be interesting. They're an interesting team for me because they've changed so much, and we don't really know what they're exactly going to be, but it'll be Monday night should be fun. I mean, it can't be much more fun, Noodles, than the third period you had last night.
Yeah.
And there were goals going in everywhere.
It was actually quite exciting. Like, we thought at 2-1, and especially at 3-1, I didn't think Washington was going to get through the neutral zone. And Ovi, man, I mean, I was telling the guys off air, like, Ovi is still a great player. He can get it on a stick off his stick in the back of the net. But that Kuznetsov's a hell of a player, and so is Backstrom. But
Ray, I told Jamie to be quiet. I'm like, who cares, Jamie? They do the same thing every year. You're just awestruck over this offensive machine, and then come playoff time, they suck.
Well,
so I'm not getting sucked in again. Forget it.
You know, it was interesting. This is the first year they split up Backstrom and Ovechkin.
Yeah.
Well, they've tried it in the past, but it lasts for 2 games.
So and then last night he gets 3 right off the hop. So, I don't know. It does feel like their window's closed a bit, but maybe this is the type of year where you you know, like you say, you kind of ditch them.
You sleep on them, and then all of a sudden they do something.
And then they're there. Like, for a couple years, I'd pick San Jose as my Western champion, and I finally said to hell with them. Yeah. And then they went to the Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a carbon copy. I mean, we're only a game in and a couple of days into the season, but it's the exact same thing. The Sharks went through controversy and changes, and people slept on them, and then they picked up steam.
I think I admitted to you guys, I did go off the board and pick Washington to win the Cup this year, like when we did our predictions, and felt ridiculous, felt like I felt pissed off about it, but I picked them a couple of years in a row.
Well, who do you feel better about, Pittsburgh or Washington? Like, taking away the past 48 hours. I mean, that
just doesn't... You can't help but take... The 48 hours is going to be in your brain, and you're going to say Washington.
Would you pick Washington over Pitt?
After what I've seen in 48 hours, you know, yes,
only,
I would.
The only reason I would, even before the last 48 hours, is what we talked about before. Matt Murray doesn't have anything to prove, but he still has something to prove in a regular season to me, and that's to be a starter at the NHL level. He's done it in short terms in the playoffs, but he's never played 65 in a regular season, which is really tough to do. And that adds a lot of duress on the body to go into the playoffs when you look at some of the workload that guys have had to go through.
I would still take Pittsburgh, I think. I'm not sure about Washington's defense. They got a lot of change there.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do it with very much confidence, put it that way. I mean, Pittsburgh needs another center. They've got to find one of those. And if, you know, I don't know how long they can, you know, they can stretch out a trial for, see what Niemi has, but you're going to need two goalies. And Jim Rutherford's always been patient. He's always, you know, he always seems to, right when you think things are in the ditch like they were 2 years ago, he's found a way, since he's gone to Pittsburgh, of getting the right pieces in there. So he deserves a little benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. And Brian, you even said it the other day, like, we Pitts lose a couple, you don't really worry that much. But if it was, you know, if that was the Leafs, or look at Winnipeg, they're probably panicking in Winnipeg right now because of that loss.
Like, oh, for sure.
Teams that haven't built up that...
The narrative is different in every
market,
right?
It's such a different narrative. You're right.
Totally different. If you're a team that feels like you've got to prove something,
okay.
Pitt doesn't have to prove anything.
I'll throw one at you guys. If Chicago lost 10-1 last night, would we be talking about Joel Quenneville on thin ice? Yeah,
absolutely. I don't know about thin ice for Q, but it would be,
you know,
here we go,
I mean,
again, all the turnover. Why did
you
trade
issues.
Panarin? How could he
Joel
get rid
Quenneville
of Joel
was put on notice last year when they fired his good buddy, Mike Kitchen, the assistant coach. They said... watch out, because we're not happy with what happened. You got dummied by Nashville. You scored four goals in four games, and this better change. So if they lost 10-1 last night, it would be the worst possible start for the Blackhawks.
By the way, that coaching staff, three ex-Hartford Whalers,
they
and my brother-in-law.
That's right.
You must fit right in with that pre-game conversation.
Well, Tony said to him, we're going to learn a lot of really great stuff about the Whale by the time this year's over.
Yeah. Granato's there?
The other brother, Donnie. Tony's a Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But Tony's got to stay in Wisconsin. He had to get his degree last year.
Yeah. So, I can imagine the Hartford Whalers stories going on at dinner. Oh, my God.
They're all going to grow mustaches.
Jesus.
Alfie couldn't grow a mustache if he tried. Ever.
He was one of the dirtiest players who ever played the game.
I asked Ron Francis on the back of the bus. We had a beer, and I looked at him, and I said, Ron, I have to ask you.
Yeah.
How can you be best friends with that a-hole?
Like Paul Samuelson?
And Ron Francis are best friends. And
he
seems
like a good guy off the ice.
I don't care. I just said he's such an idiot.
He is an awesome guy.
I know, but I just, if you don't know him,
I played with him for about 6 years. He went to Pittsburgh. I was with the Islanders. The first time I played against him, I was fishing around for a rebound in front of the net. He buried me into the crossbar. Like, he didn't even slow down. He just smashed me in there. And I was cut, and I turned around, and he's like, stop picking at the goalie.
Ray, I was in a scrum in the corner, and we were trying to kick around. It was like a rugby scrum. And he grabbed his skate, and he stomped on top of my foot with his skate blade. I just looked at him, and I said, what the hell is the matter with you? You're nuts.
Yeah. And then there are so many Alf Samuelson stories, and I know we don't have time. I'll tell you, we had in Quebec, they pulled the goalie, or we pulled the goalie. and one of the Stastny's got a breakaway, and Alfie was chasing him. And he threw his stick, and then he threw a glove. And I was skating up the ice next to Ronnie, and we looked at each other, and we just started to laugh because he threw the next glove. When the puck went in the net, he had no gloves or stick.
Jeez.
And we're like, man, if the rink was 10 feet longer, he would have thrown his helmet. Like, he was nuts. Crazy.
He was. We all have an Elf Samuelson story for sure.
Well, I mean, in Toronto, it was him being on the opposite side of it when Domi
that
suckered.
That was Domi,
him.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, Domi got 15 games, I think, for that.
Yeah, that was in New York. I was on the ice for that.
What would really? That be in today's game?
Oh, if that was 15 in, like, 97 or whatever it was?
No, he got 8.
He got 8? Oh, I thought he got 15. Eight.
So what is that a 25-gamer in today's game?
He was just standing there, and Domi dropped his mitt and just, that was suckered it. Finished, lights out.
Oh, he connected like that. He smoked him in the face.
Ty Domi?
Yeah, Domi on Alfie.
But they was got, like, nothing to see there.
So he got 8 games there. That's, I'm telling you, that's a 25-game minimum.
Suspension. That might be a
that might be a full season.
Could be a 40 game.
Like, that was before McSorley on Bashir and Bertuzzi on Moore.
What about Matty Johnson? Do you remember Matt Johnson on Boogaboom? That one was vicious, too.
Yeah, I was in that game, too.
Really?
Look at you, the Forrest Gump of sucker punches.
Exactly.
I was also in a game about Alfie, last one, about he got kicked out of a game at Maple Leaf Gardens. Remember how low the glass was in the penalty box?
Yes.
Alfie was shaking it as they kicked him out. We were on the bench laughing. We're like, look at him. He's lost his mind. So they skated him out, and the doors open up behind the net, and he grabbed the squeegee from the front of the Zamboni, and he beat a hole in the front of the Zamboni grill. And then he dropped the squeegee and walked into the room. He had to buy a new grill for the Zamboni.
That guy was in the NHL, and now he's a coach.
He's coaching Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane.
He's molding young minds. Alex DeBrincat.
This is where I used to step on Jeff O'Neill's foot. That's how you get the puck back.
Exactly.
Hey, DeBrincat, this is what you have to do if you want to make it in the National Hockey League. All right, buddy. Enjoy it. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll do it Monday. You're calling the game, right? You're in town?
Yep, I will be there Monday, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Eat a lot of turkey, and we'll see you Monday.
You got it. There he is. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. That game is on TSN on Monday night. And Ray joined us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check out the new 2018s to get rates starting at 0% plus. Receive 5,000 Aeroplan miles with every purchase. Go to the website MapleToyota.com. Duffy's coming up, the Friday 5-pack. Baseball playoffs, 4 games today. We had football last night. It's Thanksgiving this weekend.
I had the 3 TVs working last night, and I was in heaven.
You did look very comfortable.
It was perfect. I had the football game on,
baseball
game, and the Pens-Blackhawks game. It was just butter.
Isn't Terry Francona just a thing of beauty?
I love that guy. Honestly, I love that guy.
He was getting
destroyed for
blasted
not starting Kluber.
For not saying, go to Kluber and force him to start. Starts Trevor Bauer, and Bauer comes off as one of the most unlikable athletes.
He is a weird cat.
Very weird dude. Remember last year with the, what was he playing with?
He had a
drone
bloody
or
hand
something?
Or
Wasn't he playing with a drone?
He screwed up his hand with a drone.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was chirping the Jays and Jays fans, and he was perfect through, what, 5 last night into the 6th inning?
Then they bring in that monster, Miller, and it's...
It's over. Lights out. Yankees had nothing.
Well, you want to talk about a team that's going to... We'll get back into it, but they're going to have to force the issue early on, because if it gets deep in the game... Done. Bye-bye.
See you later. Well, and the Yankees have a great bullpen, too, but you got to score. You got to get ahead so that you can even utilize it. We'll touch on that and more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. You can text us 1050-50 at any point throughout the afternoon. It's Thanksgiving this weekend, which means the turkey dump will be in full effect.
Do you have any more information regarding sky dumps a la turkey?
This one, I think it's just a coincidence, to be honest. This could happen at any point. I don't think this really has anything to do with Thanksgiving, but it's greasy. Some guy texting and saying, I've got the ultimate turkey sky dump / ghosting. My girlfriend said that we've got to be set up. I guess they were going to some wedding this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, this is actually this weekend now?
This weekend. So it coincides with Thanksgiving. So I guess this may be the ultimate turkey sky dump. Couple was all good yesterday. Groom no-showed the rehearsal dinner last night. Friends, family, cops, hospitals, everything's being checked. Guy's phone off. Sounds like he's ghosted the bride with the ultimate turkey sky dump.
Really?
Like, is the guy okay, though? We're like,
that's what you hope that he's all right.
If he's not okay, that means this guy just pulled the chute and said, I'm out of here. I can't.
Maybe he's on a bender. Like, he was like, the hell with this. I'm going down to Niagara Falls for the weekend.
Well, this guy sounds like he's actually kind of happy. I mean, as long as the guy is safe and everyone's all good, he's like, exactly. That means I don't have to go to the wedding. It's like the plus one. Because we've all been in that situation where you're at a wedding and you are the plus one and you realize you are the least important person at the wedding by a country mile.
Oh, yeah.
Like, say there's 200 people there, you were ranked 200th.
The plus one?
Yeah, like as like you're at the wedding with your wife or girlfriend.
Well, you know what blows is when you're in the wedding party and or your girlfriend or whatever's in the wedding party and you're at a table.
Well, that one stings.
You're a pigeon.
That one's worse.
Pigeon.
Yeah, you really are.
You just get gooned and deal with the consequences.
If it's an 8-person table, you're the 8th wheel. Yeah. Or a 9-person because they have to somehow shoehorn you into a table that they're like, oh, yeah, we got to find a spot for Jamie because Steph's at the head table.
And that's happened to me before.
We've all been down
that road. One of the most shocking wedding stories is your dad going Andrew Dice Clay at your sister's wedding and getting the hook. Yeah, I can't believe Billy did that.
Sam Rosen can't believe he just saw that.
Oh, my goodness.
It could be the greatest actual story.
Like, if I wasn't there, I wouldn't have believed it.
Really?
Is it you that pulled him off and said, get the hell out of here, enough's enough?
Well, I was emceeing the wedding. It was my oldest sister's wedding, and he got up there, and he started pulling out jokes that were, they would have been offside
Red at Fox.
Like an amateur comedy club. Like, it was hilarious. I was kind of enjoying it, and a lot of people in the crowd were, but needless to say, my sister and my mom.
Give me a tidbit of what
you can't.
Fox bit. It's a Richard Pryor bit.
What the hell was Billy thinking?
There was a condom joke.
This guy's a lunatic.
It was crazy.
I love it.
Crazy, man. He brought it. He was prepared. He pulled out his A game. And he had the crowd going, man. Everyone was on fire. It set the tone for the whole night.
People just got gooned?
Yeah, everyone was having a great time. It was a great wedding.
I love it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I was emceeing, so I had to follow that up. I'm like, okay, how am I going to follow that up?
Yeah.
How do you follow that routine up?
Tough.
Like going up after Richard Pryor.
Exactly.
Or George Carlin. Imagine me trying to get people laughing after
that. That'd be awesome.
No guy. Marcellus Wiley, apparently he can't do it today, so
that's all right. He's, you know what, it must be something important.
Well, I think the baseball playoffs are throwing everything off, right? He's at ESPN, and he does radio work down in L.A., and he said his whole schedule has been thrown upside down because this is baseball heaven today. You got 4 games in a row.
Yeah.
You've got the Boston-Houston game, which is currently ongoing, Yankees Tribe, which is currently ongoing, and then finally the NLDS kickoff tonight. And Houston's currently up 4-1 on Boston, and the Yankees and the Tribe, I believe, have just started. So we'll track those throughout the afternoon. But if you're a big baseball fan and you somehow had today off, this is heaven.
Yeah,
this is like first round of the NHL NBA playoffs.
I lived in the States, and there was a neighborhood pub. Get days like this on a Friday, people just take the day off. March Madness starts, goodbye. Not even going
even
near that work.
In North Carolina, the first Thursday and Friday of March Madness.
I walked
Madness.
Into the pub at noon, and it was just rammed. It was like a midnight bar crowd, and people were going. It was the greatest thing on earth.
It would be exceptional. And who was supported more around there, Carolina or Duke?
Oh,
probably
NC
both.
State
NC
was
State.
Just a joke. I mean, Duke and North Carolina would be in the running for a national championship, and NC State would never even make the tournament.
Mm-hmm. But they were the stars.
NC State?
Yeah.
No, guy.
But they
it was all about
Raleigh,
Duke
though.
And North Carolina.
Yeah, really? Of course. Like throughout the whole state and the country. Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest rivalry in basketball.
Yeah.
Those two meet up, March Madness and Raleigh, North Carolina, I can only imagine.
I'll still say one of the most impressive sporting events I ever went to was a Duke game. and I saw J.J. Redick shoot threes in college. It was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
He was
He was setting records.
He was a joke. Like, it was just automatic.
He was Steph Curry before Steph Curry was Steph Curry.
Really?
Like, he set record. I think he has the most points in college basketball history.
Luol Deng was impressive. Carlos Boozer was impressive.
There were a lot of great
guys.
It
was a lot.
Through.
There was a factory, man. Yeah. It was a factory.
Absolutely.
Anywho.
Speaking of Carolina, we haven't mentioned that Cam Newton circled back and he issued the apology last night. He posted it on his Instagram.
I don't even know why we even address that anymore. The fact that she came out with those comments that were said before.
Well, she tweeted out some disparaging tweets four or five years ago.
For all the people that are saying Cam Newton needs to explain himself now, he's actually okay. Don't worry about him. Worry about both of them, and they can both fix their life.
Well, two wrongs don't make a right. But here's what I found interesting, because I saw a friend of mine tweeting this last night. This is how crazy we've become with just the mob mentality and social media and pouncing on people who make mistakes.
The outrage.
What he said was stupid, childish, unprofessional, unfair, shouldn't happen.
Right.
He issued an apology about 24 hours later.
Yeah.
And people are like, not quick enough. 24 hours.
Yeah.
So if you do not apologize within 30 seconds, Twitter cannot accept it.
It's
crazy.
It's the fake outrage.
Our standards.
I call it, it's the fake outrage. It's the soapbox era we live in. People yell and scream, and they're so outraged. And it really affects their life. Like, you want to know what gets the noodle cooking or whatever you guys had for that segment?
What cooks your noodle?
That type of garbage. Cam Newton was an idiot. He acted like an idiot. But it sounds like this jackass lady was just as bad with comments,
on
too.
On Twitter 4 or 5 years ago,
so,
she was
you know what?
Really...
You're right. They're both don't make her right. You hope maybe they learn from it.
Both know that they did something wrong, I'd like to believe. Maybe not immediately. I mean, let's be honest. Everyone's hopping on Cam. It took him 24 hours to apologize. The only reason the journalist apologized is because someone combed over the tweets, and now she feels she has to apologize.
Well, now she's starting... Thing is... What is the saying? Throw stones in a glass house?
And that was exactly my point yesterday, is if that comment, which was a dumb comment, everyone acknowledges it's a dumb comment, that's not a life, that shouldn't be a life-changing comment.
Right.
People make stupid mistakes. Let's focus on real mistakes, big mistakes, life-altering mistakes, politics-altering mistakes. If a quarterback says something dumb, okay, acknowledge it. Let's all acknowledge it and move on. It's not worthy of sponsors dropping him and people saying he should be this, that, or the other. And
he lost a yogurt
sponsor. And I made a stupid comment, I guess, yesterday. It wasn't even a comment. It was an inquiry. I was like, what kind of money's in the yogurt game? People have been tweeting and texting me. The yogurt game is lucrative.
Really?
Like 25 billion plus in like the states alone annually in yogurt sales.
Why are we not involved in the yogurt business?
I guess get us in the yogurt game.
You know why? Because we don't... I mean, I eat yogurt, but I don't think it doesn't align with our show. We're like chicken fingers. We're BDP.
I've never seen two guys that love fingers and fries like you two.
I love them.
Every time we sit down, you're like, want some finger and fries? One of you will say to the other.
It's the go-to. That's what the go-to. When you go to have a beer, it's chicken fingers or chicken wings and fries. I'm not a wing guy, so I like the boneless.
I couldn't give up chicken. Like, someone proposed that to me recently. Like, if I could guarantee you a Leaf Stanley Cup, but you can never eat chicken again, what would happen? I'd say, Leafs are on their own. I'm not giving up chicken.
Hello, vegan.
Ever. I'm not doing that. You would go vegan for a cup?
Absolutely.
I would
no,
never.
No, you wouldn't.
You would cheat
on that immediately.
You're like George LaRocque. He's a vegan, but or a vegan or whatever.
I would go vegan and never type BRAZZERS again.
Lies. Oh, he lies.
I don't know which lie is bigger, but they're both lies. I love this, too. I would do that. There's no repercussions. You're not actually forced to do it. So, sure. Okay, I'd give up chicken. There you go.
Yeah. No,
go ahead.
No, you wouldn't.
No, of course
I wouldn't. He wouldn't give up whatever he just spelled
out. He might say
Brazzers.
He would, but he'd cheat immediately. He would be eating chicken while on Brazzers within 24 hours. That's what would be
just
happening.
Just a big brontosaurus chicken bone and Brazzers.
Just a bucket and a browse.
And a Brandy Love marathon.
All right. Duthie's coming up. Pedro Gomez from ESPN. He's covering the Nationals-Cubs series. Get his take on whether or not the Cubs can go back-to-back. trending. I mean, people think the Pats potentially could do it. The Penguins just did it. Could the Cubs find a way to make that work? Get his take on Jose Altuve and what he's been doing. And the Yankees have a shot this afternoon against the Tribe. Kershaw as well. What kind of outcome will he supply? Not known to be the greatest playoff pitcher we've ever seen. So Pedro Gomez coming up, Duffy coming up in the Friday five-pack. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.
Our boy Bobby Costas was taking some heat today for some of his comments.
Apparently he
the
was...
sacks are juiced.
He was calling the ball game last night. Did you find that clip, Moss? All right, do you want to hear Bob Costas, who is a legend? I mean, this is Costas we're talking about.
Pink eye special.
Now the switcher to Gonzalez turns around to the left side. The last time he came up against Sale, there were two men on base. He brought them both home with a double to right center. Now the sacks are juiced.
You can't come with that, man.
No.
You cannot. No. You can't come with that one.
But there's no way he was thinking idiots like us and people on Twitter were going to immediately
think of it that way.
In
this industry, you have to understand, if you come up with a comment like that, you'll be everywhere. Everything we say for 3 hours a day.
Well, you're right, but you got to live with it. It's just, everyone knows what he was talking about.
The bases were loaded.
But it's...
The sacks were juiced.
Now the sacks are juiced.
It's a good soundbite.
Overdrive's looking to honor some grit-grinding beer leaguers. Get on Twitter and send us, at TSN 1050 Radio, your best beer league team name using the hashtag Beer League Contest. Hashtag Beer League Contest, and you'll be entered to win back your league registration fees. A winner will be announced every Friday, brought to you by the ASHL. Play with the largest rec hockey league in the world. For more details, go to TSN1050.ca. It happens to be a Friday, so we have a winner to announce. We have a trade to announce. We have a winner to announce. Today's winner is Dylan DeQuano of the Slick Willies.
Slick Willies.
Slick Willies. They're all big Bill Nylander fans.
Wow.
They've got his picture on the front of the jersey. They all go by Nylander on the back, just different numbers.
Nice.
Awesome name. Slick Willies. Shout out to Dylan and the boys. So, Dylan, we'll be hooking you up.
Yeah.
And the ASHL will be paying back your league registration fees. All right, Duffy's coming up. Pedro Gomez from ESPN. Friday five-pack, the five celebrity boxing matches we want to see on pay-per-view. That's how we roll.
Yep.
Final hour of the week, rolling in to a long weekend up next.